Pat O'Connor, the president of Minor League Baseball, coming on to talk about the state of the game at the grassroots level. Pat is traveling here tonight and has graciously been able to steal away some time to talk with us here. Pat, we welcome you to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you. Calling you from L.A. at the Urban Youth Academy in Compton, California. Major League Baseball's nice facility out here, but it's a pleasure to be with you, and thanks for rescheduling.
Oh, we're so happy to have you on. Why don't we start there? Talk about what's going on with your trip to L.A. and what you're going to be talking about with the state of the minor league baseball with these folks.
Well, I'm out here this week, Rick. They're having a Major League Baseball umpire camp. And our minor league umpire company, the Professional Baseball Umpire Corporation, cooperates with them in that camp. And I like to just come out. It's a mixture of umpires, some with professional aspirations, some just wanting to be better umpires. And it's an opportunity to visit with some of these umpires, as well as just the staff from Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball. It's one of my favorite trips. MLB has done a great job in here with this Compton Academy. And it's just umpires are, as much as they may be criticized, they're a very unique breed, and they're good people to be around.
Yes, they are. I've seen it at various levels a lot of times that umpires are folks that work very hard at trying to preserve the integrity of the game, and I'm sure you see that a lot at the minor league level, where a lot of these folks, some of them, much like the ball players, have legitimate aspirations of making it to the major leagues, but the majority never will, and they're in it for the love of the game and because they can't imagine doing anything else with their lives. As far as the minor league game goes, of course, the big story in sports business over the last 12 months or so has been this ginormous global recession that's really hit and hit hard, and just the worst economy that we've had in the last 70 to 80 years or so. And looking to see where that would make an impact on the sports world, of course, you guys, one would think, would be one of the areas where you would perhaps be poised to pick up some converts, some new folks coming into it here, particularly those who may find the major league product as being a bit overpriced for their pocketbooks in tough times here. You guys with the lower ticket prices, fan-friendly atmosphere where you can sit closer to the game, see the stars of tomorrow. I have to believe that your level of baseball was probably very well positioned to take advantage of what we've seen.
Well, you've pretty much hit it on the head, Rick. And one of the things that that we are most proud of is that we have sold ourselves for 100 years on affordable family entertainment, and our model is such that we really did not have to reinvent ourselves as a result of these economic times. We did feel it. The corporate base whittled away a little bit. The season-long support and season tickets waned slightly. But what we did find is the daily walk up the gate was as good as it's been in several years. While people couldn't commit to buy a season ticket, they certainly came out to the games when they could. So I think you have captured the essence of our season. We were down less than 5% overall on attendance. It's still too early, obviously, for our financials to come in, but we feel like we were positioned well. And traditionally, minor league baseball has done well in economic downturns. Just the most difficult thing is to see some of our communities struggle as a whole, as they have through this. Hopefully, we are approaching or at a bottom that will at least give people some confidence that we are at the bottom and we can scratch and claw our way back. We obviously are of the opinion that we're not going to come back as quickly as we fell off. But our clubs are in a good position. We had a good year, not a great year. But I do think, and I'm very proud of the fact, that we provided the fans and the citizens of our 160 communities throughout the U.S. with good, affordable family entertainment. You know, Rick, there's just something good to be said about going to a ballpark and for 2, 3, 4 hours a night, not have to read the headlines, not have to worry about all the life problems that we have, and it's a good, clean, safe environment for you and your family. And that's what we're proud about being able to offer, and we're certainly pleased that our fans realized it and recognized it, came back out in really good numbers in 2009.
It is a tremendous escape from the grim realities of today, no question about that. And that's mind-boggling to me that you guys were able to do about 95% of your business from the previous year before the downturn hit. That really is amazing. As far as trends go at the minor league level, something I'd like to ask you about, sitting here tonight in our flagship city for the Sports Talk Network of Cleveland, of course, the AAA affiliate for our local team would be the Columbus Clippers. First year of an affiliation with the Clippers, actually, moving into the new park in downtown Columbus. We've seen this in recent years with ballparks, with the upgrades at various levels, with teams doing that. We'd seen that at the major league level starting in the 90s, moving into the new millennium here. We're seeing an accelerated trend at the minor league level. You referenced earlier briefly about the corporate base with minor league baseball. How important are these new jewels that you've got in places like Columbus to the growth of the minor league game?
Well, I was born and raised just outside of Columbus, and I followed that very closely. And Columbus is once again propelled itself to be a shining star in the minor league system. I think what allows us to keep affordable prices at the family unit and at the fan and customer base is our ability to attract sizable corporate sponsorship, and over the long haul it is essential. I think that these clubs are assets for the community. It's a quality of life issue, and we have been able historically and continue and expect to continue into the future to be able to get our corporate partners to see the value of the presence of the club, one, but also the value as an entertainment, advertising, promotion, and exposure outlet. So it ends up being a win-win. Large corporations like for their employees to have things to do, and that's where the quality of life comes in. So it is critically important. And as I said, our relationships in our cities, Rick, tend to be very long-term. And look, if the car dealership survives and is up against it, our clubs understand that, and they want that guy to be comfortable with whatever he does or feels like he can't do in a given year with our ball club. And I was really proud of the fact that our clubs dealt with their long-term sponsors and their corporate base in a fan-friendly and a family-friendly way to get them through this rough time. I graduated college at the end of the Carter administration. This is the first time in my professional career I've dealt with anything like this. And I am just so proud of our club and our clubs and our leagues for being able to deal with this, because we can't survive without our corporate base. And we made it through this year. I think we're probably looking at a less than favorable environment for this coming off season. Maybe not as bad as last year, but it's certainly not out of any kind of trouble. So we always want it better. We want it better for ourselves, for our fans, and for our corporate partners. But it's critically important that we have those people along, and it's critically important we treat them fairly when things aren't going their way.
Very well said. Yeah, you've got to have mutually beneficial relationships in order to be able to generate this kind of success. As far as a couple things that you mentioned there, you mentioned having been from the state of Ohio, you said just outside of Columbus. I see here Grove City. And I should mention also, I see that you are, like myself, a fellow Bobcat. I don't know if you happened to catch last night on ESPN2, but it was a shining night for the alma mater, Pat.
Well, I saw the highlights. I was flying. I spent yesterday at Cooperstown, and I had to fly all night to get out here. I did see that, and in fact, ESPN2, I saw a little of the replay today. So I went to Ohio University for my master's program. Mm-hmm. I did my undergrad at Wittenberg over in Springfield. So I'm an Ohio boy born and bred, so it's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Yes, so it's a pleasure to have you on. I'd also like to ask about, while we're in the state of Ohio, because this is probably a good example of a larger trend here, when you're looking at affiliations between leagues, something that's very interesting to me, one of the things that's been sort of sticking out like a sore thumb the last couple of years, ever since the Lake County Captains in our metropolitan area here of Greater Cleveland acquired a team in the South Atlantic League, I believe it was the team from Columbus, South Carolina. That's been really kind of a difficult slog for them to basically make the trip, and other teams to do so, to be in the South Atlantic League. Now the affiliation will come next year with the Midwest League, which sets up a lot of nice rivalries, sets up easier travel back and forth. So one would think things like that, when these things are able to be worked out, whether behind the scenes or in whatever fashion, these seem to be the kind of moves that are generally beneficial and, you know, help with scheduling and just would seem to make things smoother all the way around, it seems.
Well, you're absolutely right. And when Rita Carfanian and Peter Carfanian and the Carfanians bought into that club, and it was in Columbus, Georgia, and relocated it, it was relocated on a condition that it would become a Midwest League club in the future. And as you know, you can't move in singles. You have to move in pairs. Mm-hmm. And it was not until, ironically enough, a club had relocated to Columbus, Georgia, and then went into Bowling Green, Kentucky, that we were able to find a dance partner, so to speak, for the Lake County Club, worked through what is somewhat of an archaic, but it is the process that we have to get that done. And got that through last year and will take effect in 2010. I think that positions us a little better. It's not ideal, and geography and scheduling and travel is always a concern at the minor league level from a cost standpoint, from a logistics standpoint. You know, I'm a firm believer, Rick, that players need to spend more time on the field than they do on a bus, mm-hmm. and it's not always easy to accomplish that, to be very honest with you.
Well, it's very interesting to hear you talk about how that comes about, because as you said, yeah, one team cannot move unilaterally. You have to have, as you called it, a dance partner to be able to make that happen. A question that our producer, Steve Servillo, the gentleman who booked you for tonight, I just got a question submitted to me from him. He's curious about, we talked about Lake County being in this market. Of course, now there's also the Independent Frontier League team in Avon, which actually, you know, started from scratch and ended up winning the Frontier League altogether this year. He's wondering about, are there territorial rights within a given market? Of course, when you extend down a little south of here, you get into Akron. I don't know if that would be considered that. Are there any kind of restrictions placed upon how franchises are able to be set in a given area? And of course, I'm guessing that the Frontier League probably falls out of your jurisdiction.
Yeah, independent is just that, Rick. It's independent of the organized structure that we operate in.
Yeah.
We have an agreement. It's called the Professional Baseball Agreement. It's an agreement between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball. And within that agreement, there is a very definite and clear-cut set of territorial rules and procedures. Cleveland controls the Cleveland market. East Lake, Akron, Mahoney Valley, all those came in with some consent from Cleveland over time. The Avon situation is one where being independent, being outside of the agreement, outside of the organizations, there was no restriction on them to do what they did. And they're, you know, those crop up quite honestly some of the major areas where there's a population base to try to support multiple clubs.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see how the alignments come. We really didn't even have much in the way of minor league baseball prior to about 20 years or so ago up here. You know, Canton, Akron comes along, and then, as you said, Mahoning Valley was part of it, Lake County. It's been very interesting to see the growth there. Something else over the course of about the same period of time, roughly, because Canton, Akron, I think, started in about 89. And the next question I was going to ask you dates back to 88, when Bull Durham came out. One of the things that struck me, and of course, and there have been people that have talked about the impact of that on minor league baseball and reawakening people to that. One of the more interesting parts of it that I kind of take from that as a hardcore baseball fan, the emphasis in the movie on Nuke LaLoosh, the whole thing of the bonus baby. Of course, over the last 20 years or so since Bull Durham came out, we've seen more fascination with that. This deal with the prospects has gotten to be higher and higher profile over time. What kind of a driver do these guys tend to be, to the extent that you can quantify this stuff? A Troy Tulowitzki, from the time, the brief time when he comes into the minors to when he gets called up. A Steven Strasburg next year, presuming that he doesn't start with Washington, which seems like a good bet. Have you guys been able to quantify the extent that, to which these guys move turnstiles?
Well, I think you can one-off those, and they are so rare when you have that kind of talent. Much like let's say an injury rehab, when a major leaguer comes back and plays in the minor league for a week or 10 days, there's a bump. I think we would all be naive to think that there's not. But over the long haul, the smoothing effect of that, Rick, is that, you know, we like to watch these players at the minor league level. We don't expect to see them year after year after year because we want them to make their way to the big leagues. And I can say I knew him when he played, you know, in Mahoning Valley. But there's no question about it. That is one of the benefits of the relationship with Major League Baseball. The high profile does trickle down, you know, so there is a residual effect. I don't think there's any question that at any given point it would move tickets and move the needle in a positive direction for us. But, you know, for every Strasburg who is just a phenomenal talent, there are 24 other guys that are going to put the same uniform on that night who are going to be there and put out the same kind of effort and maybe acquire the same kind of fan loyalty that a guy who is going to go through the system on a rocket because of superior talent.
Now, in terms of a Strasburg or anybody else like that, of course, he was recently at the Arizona Fall League, as were a number of the other top guys being showcased. What, if any, is the extent of minor league baseball's affiliation with the Arizona Fall League? Does that fall completely outside of your affiliation? Is that part of it in any way?
That is not an affiliated league, Rick. It's a league that is really a glorified instructional league. I mean, they play games and they, you know, they keep statistics and all of that. But it is a developmental league. It is not part of the National Association, not part of the Professional Baseball Agreement. MLB, you know, works with us on that. We provide umpires for that through our umpire corporation. It too is used as a developmental tool for umpires because it is quality play. You know, and as you move up through the system, the players get a little better, the game gets a little faster, and these umpires need to keep pace with that. So while it is not one of our leagues, we go out and support it with our presence. We're available to MLB in any way we can do to help them, and we certainly cooperate to every extent possible on the umpiring front.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'm, there's got to be a lot of synergy between what you guys are doing and what they're doing.
And I would add, Rick, if I could interrupt you, we do much the same, say, in the Caribbean Confederation and the Winter Leagues. We have umpires in Puerto Rico and the Dominican, Venezuela. We work closely with the Mexican League, Winter League. So, you know, we are interested in promoting the game of baseball and offering our assistance and whatever level of expertise we can provide whenever we can. And we try to be very active nationally and internationally promoting the game, promoting the fan base, and just, you know, moving baseball along as we face the various challenges.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't know that about the international leagues. I would guess a lot of the listeners probably didn't know that either. I'm glad you made a point of mentioning that. Something else, too, that I'm prompted to think of, just based on the fact that one of our good friends of the show, who hopefully we'll be having back on in the near future, our good friend Ted Gianalis here. When you look at everything that Ted's been doing out there on the road as the San Diego Chicken over the decades, of course, now the minor leagues make up a very big part of what he's doing, a big part of his stomping grounds, and you guys have a number of other similar promotions like that, because as you said before, you're selling the family experience. So, I mean, you've got, you know, the actual stake of what's happening on the field here and come see the stars of tomorrow and all of that. You've got the sizzle that's being added by Ted Gianalis, working the chicken gimmick and so many other things like that. I mean, how important are these other elements in addition to the game itself for selling the family experience?
Well, Rick, I'll tell you, I have always been of the opinion there are three things that make a minor league team and their year successful. One is the weather. Two is your ball club, and three is everything else. As you know, we don't control the weather. And in the minor leagues, while you would like to maybe call and make suggestions, you really don't have a whole lot of control of the team that's on the field. As long as you're competitive, you don't have to win every game. Don't just make sure you don't lose every game. If there's some level of expectation when the fan comes out that you have a chance to win, then you'll be okay. But then there's everything else. And I can tell you are somewhat of a minor league aficionado, Rick, because you mentioned sizzle. Mm-hmm. What we sell is the sizzle. We sell the good music, the clean environment, the safety for the kids and mom and dad and the family, the cold beer, the hot dogs, the fresh popcorn, the music that's appealing and not offensive. That's everything else, clean restrooms, clean concourses, good parking. That's everything else, and that's what we can control. And I will tell you that as the chicken, Ted is the standard bearer, and he set the bar very high for what those kind of acts are expected to do. You go to a Ted Gianolis, you go to the San Diego Chickens performance, and you want an autograph. If you don't get one, that's your fault, because Ted will stay until every autograph is signed. And he's been doing that since I first met him in 1983 in Beaumont, Texas. But you know, it is important. You know, we have, and I'm not going to quote them verbatim, but we have statistics, Rick, that when fans leave our ballpark, half of them probably won't know who won or lost. They won't know the affiliate of the opponent's team. You know, they won't know a lot about what happened on the 27 ounces side, but you know what? Almost to the person, they will know they had a good time and they're going to come back.
Oh, absolutely.
And so the everything else, the sizzle, is absolutely essential to what we can control and what we can participate in, and that's what our people excel at. And our people are some of the best in the world at getting that done and creating that environment. That, you know, as Mike Vec likes to say, fun is good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a funny thing. Our producer has gotten us for this show, the chicken and the fanatic. And I've joked them and said, you know, you've ruined us for all other sports mascots. We've started at the apex here. Anybody else we have, we're going to be working our way down from there, you know.
Well, not to demean anybody else, but, yeah, it might just go downhill from there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's nothing like starting at the top. You know, you can kind of get spoiled doing that. And I tell you what, too, you know, when you talk about the experiences at ballparks and everything like that, I enjoy it. You know, at Lake County, I went to the old park in Columbus. I haven't been to the new one there yet. I'm sure this is
I have, Rick, and I hate to interrupt you, but I tell you what, as an Indians affiliate, if any of your listeners right there in the immediate Cleveland area have an opportunity to ride down 71 and go to this ballpark, Huntington Park is as good a baseball field and stadium that I have been at, and I've been at it as almost 30 years now, and I'm not talking about just minor league. It's well thought out. It just has charm. It has comfort. It has warmth. It has amenities. They just did a fabulous job, and yeah, I might be a little biased being a hometown boy, but it is one of many that we have, but Ken Schnocke and the county who owns the ball club down there are to be commended. And it's worth the ride down 71, I promise you.
That's true. That's true. And Ryan just IM'd me and said, of course, Canal Park and Akron is nice too. But the thing I was going to tell you is, and I'm sure you hear this a lot, the park that I have found to just be sort of the epitome of everything that you're talking about before, an organization that does everything the right way, the old Indians AAA affiliate. I went up there a couple of years ago. I was privileged to get to throw out the first pitch at one of the games there up there in Buffalo. Boy, everything they do, you know, and the enthusiasm of the locals for it and everything like that, Buffalo just seems to hit the bullseye like nobody I've ever seen.
Well, you know, the Rich family, Bob and Mindy Rich and Bob's father and family have owned that club for many years. Mike Buczkowski runs that ball club on a daily basis now. You're absolutely right, and your sense is right on the money as far as that is one of our clubs. That, you know, what tends to happen, Rick, is that their consistency and the continuity of that operation almost hurts them in a sense that we come to expect certain things. And Buffalo running a good show and drawing a lot of people and being first class should not be taken for granted, but it is very much the case, and it has been for years. They are a staple in our stable of great clubs, and probably don't get the recognition that they deserve because they've just been doing it for 20 years.
Well, that's where I'm glad we get a chance to put them over tonight. You're right about the ownership. Booch does a great job in the front office. I was privileged enough to get a tour of the facilities and to see everything that they do, and it just such a beautiful job. And I'm happy to say also, Pat, that coming up next year on the program, we've got a couple of alumni from your minor league system there, Dave Hollins and Charlie Hayes. I'm sure that they have nothing but good things to say about their experiences in the minor leagues. Minor league baseball, you know, it's going really, really strong. It's a pleasure to get to talk to you about it. And anything else that you'd like to get across about the minor league experience, Pat, please take this opportunity to do so.
Well, first I want to thank you and Ryan and Steve and everybody for having us on. And anytime you you want to kick around minor league baseball, just feel free to call. We just want to thank, you know, that part of Ohio especially, and I know this is far-reaching beyond the Cleveland, but, you know, the Indians have done a good job with their minor league affiliates. They're great partners. But it is just indicative of what we have with 30 major league clubs in 160 cities throughout the United States. I really view this as I am a standard bearer or a custodian for something that is very, very special, and it's a privilege to be a part of it. And I am so thankful that we have good people who think enough of it to promote it as you and your colleagues have, but also the 40 plus million fans a year who think enough of what we try to do to come out and enjoy themselves. You know, I go to a lot of ballparks over the course of a summer, Rick, and there is nothing more gratifying to me than to sneak off from the ownership and the management and walk the ballpark by myself and see kids of all ages, to see the generational aspect of not only baseball but minor league baseball. You know, it makes it all worthwhile, and it's very gratifying. We're so thankful to all the communities who invest human and financial resources to make this possible for us. And we really are an asset to every community that we're in, and we are just caretakers for a really, I don't want to sound too corny, but a really neat thing. It's been a heck of a run, and I don't see it ending anytime soon because there is that love and passion for the game, and there's that mutual respect of our clubs for our fans and our fans for our ball clubs.
Well, Pat, it is a great job that you guys are doing with minor league baseball. I'm glad you preemptively said that you would come back, because I was going to say, I hope you won't be a stranger. We will get you back on the show and continue to keep our finger on the pulse of minor league baseball with you, sir.
Hey, listen, happy holidays to all you guys, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Pat. The same to you. The best to you and your family. Pleasure to have you on.
All right, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Pat O'Connor, president of minor league baseball, everybody.